Well, it's hard to recall, Scoob, a more drastic change in the court of public opinion than that lived by our next guest. Graham Arnold, by his own admission, was one World Cup qualifying spot kick away from being Australia's most hated man. He left for Qatar seemingly to the backdrop of pundits sharpening their knives, only to guide the youthful Socceroos into the last 16 of the World Cup, a magical ride that we all enjoyed immensely for only the second time in our footballing history. And yesterday, Graham's incredible coaching performance on the biggest stage was rewarded with a new contract as coach of the Socceroos through until the end of the 2026 World Cup. And Graham joins us on the line this morning. Arnie, congratulations and welcome to SEN.
Thank you very much. They were blunt, guys.
Hey, too
sharp.
No, right, okay. they're certainly not. They're neither at the moment. So, Graham, two World Cup wins. I mean, the team scored in every match and obviously pushed the eventual champion to the brink in the round of 16. Yet, all you had to do after that was flop a copy of L'Equipe on James Johnson's desk to say, "Hey, I'm the man."
Yeah. No. Look. Obviously, it was a fantastic experience, but. You know, it took me a bit of time to make the final decision. I went away and, had a break and had some offers. But at the end of the day, it was, my heart's always green and gold. And I just wanted to move forward with the Socceroos because I truly believe that we'd reached the pinnacle and I got the most out of everybody and we couldn't do anything more. And I probably would have left. I don't believe that. I believe we're, with the kids coming through that... We're probably at about 60%. The boys have shown their standards now and we don't accept any less and we move forward.
So you've touched on it there, but the obvious question is, why sign on? I think you had offers from Europe and maybe throughout the Middle East to perhaps even start immediately, which would have been a test of your energy reserves. But was it also because your brother Colin just said he wanted to go to another World Cup, you just couldn't leave him?
Look, the family has a big, very important role to play with support, especially being a national team coach because you're away a lot. Obviously there's a lot of scrutiny and in the backgrounds and that. And they feel it much more than what I do. I don't do any type of social media at all and obviously the wife's done it at times and my kids and that. But, it was just more around I felt when I was overseas and getting the opportunities to, go somewhere else. I had a great discussion with James Johnson and that about, if I do stay, I don't want to just do the Socceroos. I actually want to help the game. Obviously, as I said, my heart is green and gold for the nation and everything. But I just haven't signed to do the Socceroos. I've also signed to help the junior national team's pathways and getting the preparation and the planning right for the junior boys to qualify. But it's crucial that our 17s, 20s and Olympic team go to the Olympics again and qualify because without those programs in place, then it doesn't put the kids on the big stage and doesn't put give the kids an opportunity to fulfil their dreams. So that's one other thing that I want to do. And the other thing I want to do is finally get Australian football or help try and get from the government a football home. Mm. And we've never had one. In the 40 years I've been involved, and it sounds crazy that, but we've been shifted from office block to office block, even back in the old days when it was Soccer Australia. We've never had a training facility. We don't have anything that you can call a home for the players to inspire the kids and to inspire the pathways. And it's quite sad when you think about it, but it is true that, these type of things should have been done years ago, but they haven't been done, and I would love to help do that and work with the government to help us with that because, as I said, what we saw at the World Cup just shows you, with the fan sites, shows you how the game unites the nation, but also how many kids that there are out there that want to play football.
Graham, I look forward to digging a bit deeper into that infrastructure here in this country for the Socceroos. What fascinated me is the way you bonded that group of players together who came from all different parts of the world for that World Cup. I think you had 14 days in the lead in to your first match. It might have even been shorter by the when you landed in Qatar to playing your first match. That was extraordinary. How did you do it?
Yeah, but look, it's. I think if there's one thing that we're a lot different to other nations is because we play in Asia, and a lot of the boys play all around the world, and they've got to travel to Australia when we went, and we only played four games here out of 20 in the last campaign due to COVID, that, you know, that they arrived 2 days before the game, and we play. So what really time do I have to work, you know, on tactics during that is very minimal. It's basically a walkthrough session or video. I don't have time to get them fit, but it's all about the team culture, and it's all about the mateship and building that type of culture that, you know, that we're here for each other, we're here for everyone, and we're here to do it for the families and also the nation. And you know, if there was something that really helped us with all that type of stuff was, you know, obviously with being locked down with COVID, it really built a great morale within the group. And because they had to, you know, they had to socialise with each other because they couldn't go outside the hotel. So by the time we got to Qatar and we'd done it that many times, that it just became natural for us that, you know, it's what we're used to doing. And the boys just clicked on. You could see it in their eyes when they turned up that they were ready to go and they were fully focused, and we kept the messaging simple. And the boys, you know, the belief that we built over those 4 years was there. And I know that we went through some hard times, but everyone goes through hard times. It's about how you react to, you know, anything negative or you know, a poor result. It's about how you react to it, and the boys reacted fantastic straight away.
We're speaking to Socceroos manager Graham Arnold. And Graham, I know you'll say it's obviously not all about you and it's a collective effort as part of any national team, of course. So I'm sure you've become battle-hardened somewhat over time. I mean, how could you not? But even with that being the case, it must be impossible for the criticism not to seep in the lead-up to the World Cup. I mean, but are you... You don't strike us as the I told you so type, but have you been tempted?
No. No, I, honestly, the most important thing is I can cop it all. It doesn't bother me at all, but it doesn't affect the players.
Mm.
Because if it affects the players, it affects the performance, and then we all go down. So, you know, I'm happy to cop it all, and as long as it stays away from the players and I can say to the players, don't worry about it, or we can use it at times as well. Hey, did you see what this person said? This journo or this expert said? Come on, let's go shut him up. And we can use it as inspiration sometimes as well, and motivation. But no, for me, it's I've been around the game long enough to know that coaching is a difficult job, but I love it. And but at the end of the day, you know, what you do realise over time as you get older that coaching is just full of sliding door moments.
Mm.
And, you know, within a day it can all change. But you've got to keep believing in what you're doing and backing yourself, but also making sure that the players are right, because, as I said, if it affects the players mentally, then you're not going to get any out of them, and then the performance will go away. So I'm all for the players and put myself down the bottom. But, you know, I'd rather be a father figure to them and help them and you know, get them on the same sheet of paper, and then we're all good to go.
Hey, Graham, now that the dust has settled, obviously, off the back of Doha, and you've enjoyed some time off and you've signed this new deal, can I possibly pin you to a World Cup highlight for you? I mean, it might be off the pitch, it might be on the pitch, but a lasting image or a memory or something that you find yourself, you know, coming back to now in the fullness of time?
If it's in Qatar, it's... It was crazy. Look, I have to say, all right, that seeing Mbappe live, Kylian Mbappe from France live, what a player, you know, and he was unstoppable, and he showed that right through the whole tournament. He was a highlight of the tournament. For us, it was obviously the Tunisia game and the Denmark game, but I truly believe that we played so well against Argentina that we were a kick of the ball away from qualifying. But, you know, those little lasting memories, obviously, is the Lecky goal, Harry Suter's tackle. But, you know, that just showed you the camaraderie that we had in the team, the way he worked back to make that tackle. But back here in Australia, you know, seeing those fan sites was insane. I have not seen anything like that for many, many years. And that really, Federation Square... Amy Park, that was, 20,000, 30,000 sitting in there watching the game on the TV. Seeing the fan sights of Darling Harbour and around Australia really inspired the boys enormously, and it really showed, you know, us how much the nation was behind us, which we were, you know, truly grateful for.
Arnie, we loved it. We love the journey so much. We can't wait to see what happens next. Congratulations on the new deal, and really appreciate your time this morning.
Mate, thank you very much, and thanks for your support. Thank you.